trying to survey the Old Testament. Buzz, if you'll go ahead and pull up that first slide, we'll go ahead and get started. The year's 931. Solomon's dead. What happens? Well, on the screen, you'll see what happens. It's divided into a kingdom, and there is a northern kingdom. Could anybody sort of guess and tell me the name of that northern kingdom? Is that too hard for you to guess, perhaps? It starts with an I. How good's your eyesight? That might help you if you can get that. What kingdom? What's the name of that southern kingdom? That's Judah, all right? Now there, as you begin looking at it, there are some other ways to refer to that northern kingdom other than Israel. The prophets often referred to them by the capital city. What's the capital city of that northern kingdom? Samaria. And by the principal tribe of that northern kingdom, what's that? That's Ephraim. So when you're reading these Old Testament prophets and you read about Israel, you're talking about that northern kingdom. And about Samaria, you're talking about that northern kingdom. About Ephraim, you're talking about that northern kingdom. That will help you as you study the prophets. Southern kingdom. What's the name of the southern kingdom? That's Judah, all right. What's the capital city of that southern kingdom? Jerusalem. And what's another way to refer to that southern kingdom? Mount Zion, and so it's often called Zion. And so when you read the prophets, and that's what we're trying to do, is hurriedly go through and study the last 17 books of it. All right, now then, go ahead and pull up the next screen, Buzz. There's an important date, and that is the time that you see the date line 722, pre-captivity. And so you've got that northern kingdom and you've got that southern kingdom. And so as you study the prophets, there are those who prophesy to that northern kingdom, or they fit into that general area. And we'll put Jonah up there, though he prophesies to Nineveh because he lived in the northern kingdom. But prior to the captivity of the northern kingdom, you've got Hosea and you've got Amos. And this is before 722, when the northern kingdom ends. You're about to see the end of the northern kingdom 200 years after Solomon dies. Southern kingdom continues on, but while they're still both kingdoms, there is that southern kingdom, and there are two prophets that prophesy to them, and that is Isaiah and Micah. Now, let's put the Assyrian captivity. Go ahead and put that screen up there to give you some idea, because that's the end of the northern kingdom. Now then, let's look at the southern kingdom. 722, what happens after 722? It is those prophets who prophesy before they go into Babylonian captivity. You see the date 606 B.C.? That's Babylonian captivity. And so there are these names, and that's Nahum, Zephaniah, Habakkuk, and Jeremiah. Now, the next four slides are slides we've already used. Buzz, if you want to just go through those next four, because those were the teaching points of Nahum and Zephaniah, Habakkuk, and Jeremiah. If you'll stop there once you get to Jeremiah and Lamentation. Because now then, those are the kings who the prophets who prophesy to the southern kingdom. In 606, Babylon comes, Nebuchadnezzar comes, and it comes to destroy Jerusalem. He actually comes three times. And so the first time he comes, he carries four important young men back with him. He comes back a second time, and that's the time that Ezekiel and others are involved, and that's who we're going to look at tonight. Go ahead and pull up that next screen, Buzz, and you'll see we're talking about those individuals who were there in Babylonian captivity, and that's Ezekiel and Daniel. Next week, David will be talking about Haggai, Zephaniah, and Malachi, plus Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. I wish you a lot of luck. I thought you were teaching tonight. I really wish you luck next week. You've got six books to cover. I've only got two to cover. All right. What are the highlights? You've got your Soldiers of Christ manual and everything, and we can only hit the highlights. Let's start with the book of Daniel. Look at the things that are in the book of Daniel. What, and I don't have the answers up here, and by the way, this is on the prophet cards, if that will be of any, pardon me, it's on the key facts part of that card. But how many years were there in Babylonian captivity? 70 years. So we've got that 70 years from 606 to 536, and that's the 70 years that they are in Babylonian captivity. Who are the four young men taken over there into Babylonian captivity? You read about these in the book of Daniel. If I say you'll read about it in the book of Daniel, could you name one of them? Daniel, all right. Now then, can you give the other three? Isn't that funny? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so we got these four young men, and when they arrive over there, Nebuchadnezzar wants them to be outstanding young men, and he tries to feed them some food that the Jews were not supposed to be eating. And so, I gave you the answer to that question, didn't I? What did they reject? They reject that food that was offered to them by King Nebuchadnezzar. And the guy in charge did not want to do it, but Daniel suggests, let's have a trial period. And after the trial period, these four young men, Jewish young men, the most outstanding of Jewish scholarship among the young men, are far ahead of all the wise men of Babylon. Jerusalem is still there. And so Daniel is over in Babylon. Jerusalem is still standing, but here are these four young men. And one of the things that you read about in the book of Daniel is the king's dream that Daniel interpreted. Who was that king of Babylon? That was Nebuchadnezzar. And we don't have time. David, I think, taught a class just about last quarter or two quarters ago, in which he covered the book of Daniel. And so there's that image that the king sees. And if we had more time, we'd talk about it had a head of gold that represented whom? Head of gold represented what world kingdom? The first of them. Babylon, all right. Then he had his breast and the breast area, and it was made of silver. And that was the kingdom that came after the Babylonian kingdom. What was that one? Anybody remember that one? The Medo-Persian, the Medes and the Persians. And you'll see the word Persian up there in just a minute, because Daniel lived the whole time of the 70 years, and then he was also a part of the Persian kingdom. You'll see that in just a minute. And then there were the belly and thighs that were made of bronze, and then there was that fourth part of the image, iron, feet of iron and feet of clay. And the prophesy was that the kingdom would begin in the days of, what's the name of that fourth kingdom? We've got the Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, we've got the Grecian. What's the fourth world kingdom? That's a little bit more difficult. It was Rome. I hope that's what you said. And so you've got, and it was in the days of these kings. God prophesied a specific time the kingdom would be established and it would never be destroyed. Jesus makes reference to this in Mark chapter 1. The time is fulfilled. Here are all the time prophecies. And he says the kingdom of God is at hand. Kingdom of God is about to come. Go ahead and put the next other questions that we're going to look at. The four men in the fiery furnace. Who were those four men in the fiery furnace? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Wait a minute, that's only three. Nebuchadnezzar looked in. What did he saw? He saw a fourth man. What does he look like? Who does he look like? He looks like a son of the gods. He looks like the Son of God. And what a fabulous story to teach your children and your grandchildren, that you can make this story so excited to them about that fire was seven times hotter, and the men that threw in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were burned up by that fire. And so you've got all of that can transpire. And they walked out and they were not singed at all. Their hair was the same way as it was when they went in the furnace. They had no smell of the smoke on them. Why? Because they're trying to serve God. They're over there being God's messengers over there in the Babylonian captivity. So we have those four men in the fiery furnace. You know this story? Nebuchadnezzar eating grass like an oxen. You remember how that happened? Nebuchadnezzar had another dream. And in that other dream, he dreamed about a big tree that was just flourishing and everything, and then they cut it down, and hopefully that it would spring forth again. Nebuchadnezzar couldn't figure out the meaning of the dream. Daniel had explained, Nebuchadnezzar, you are this big tree. The whole world is nourished by you. but you're going to be cut down until you learn, and here's that key phrase from the book of Daniel, the Most High rules where? In the affairs of men, and gives it to whom? Everyone. Whomever he deserves, whomever he desires. And Nebuchadnezzar didn't believe that. Nebuchadnezzar went out. Why was he eating grass like an oxen? That's on one of those Soldiers of Christ cards under the key facts that's there. It's because of his pride. This is what all I've done. I am the greatest. He was there a long time before Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali said he was the greatest. And the Lord made him go out and eat grass like an ox. His hair became like what? Eagle's feathers. And what about his hands? What about his fingernails? Like the claw of the birds and everything. Until Nebuchadnezzar, you learn the Most High rules in the affairs of men. Fabulous story, and it's a great story we need to teach you. Now, we get to the end of the Babylonian captivity, and there is that writing that appears on the wall. They're having a drunken feast. They're drinking out of the vessels of the temple, and then a finger writes on the wall. And you remember the words of there? Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. Now, a little kid years ago over in England went to Sunday school, and he said, well, what did you study about? He said, well, I think we studied about many nickels tickled parson. I think that was what that was all about, and that was not the case at all. But you've got that kind of situation that is there, and all that means was into Babylon, and then you arrive at the Persian king. Daniel arises immediately to the top of the next world king. Immediately, like he had reached the top during the time of the Babylonian captivity, Daniel immediately arrives at the top of the Persian kingdom. And whenever Daniel will make a prayer to someone other than to the king, Daniel's thrown where? In the lion's den. That is an amazing story that's there. Wish we had more time to study the book of Daniel. It's a great study. The detailed study is on the church's website. You want to get in there and study that, that's great. Let's get to the other book, and this is far more difficult to cover. We found these questions, the first two questions are from the prophet card. The other cards are from the priest card. Nebuchadnezzar's called to be a prophet. And the tongue of Nebuchadnezzar was stuck to the top of his mouth. Why? And until, what did he have to say to get his tongue unstuck from the top of his mouth? Thus says the Lord. I like to think about Ezekiel as a tongue-tied preacher. You ever stick your tongue to the top of your mouth? You say, get your tongue hooked up here, top of the mouth, until he said, thus says the Lord. And when that happens, he had full use of his tongue. You know how many times that expression about the word of the Lord, thus says the Lord, how many times that's found in the book of Ezekiel? 210 times. That's an amazing time. You know, if God did that today, you think he'd be a lot of tongue-tied preachers? You understand? I don't know if you understood me now, but if God said, if you don't say what God says, I'm going to stick your tongue to the top of your mouth, I think there'd be a lot of tongue-tied preachers there. I'd like to see, Tracy, how you sign tongue-tied preachers, okay? All right, I got it. Okay, thank you. Very good. Okay, that is great. All right, and there's that phrase that's used. What did Ezekiel say? The soul that sins what? It shall, key verse. The soul that sins, it shall die. Got to understand that, and you've got to have that understanding. Go ahead and put up the other questions that are there from the priest card. In the book of Ezekiel, there's a powerful verse that'll help you in your life. In the ancient cities, there were watchmen who stood at the tower parts of the walls of the cities. And they stood and they looked to see if the enemy was coming. And God says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, I have appointed you a watchman. He's God's spokesman. and I've appointed you to be that watchman. Folks, you need to hear, that's us. We have the truth about the coming judgment of God. And so the God says to Ezekiel, if Ezekiel, you are a watchman, and I want you to understand, if you see the enemy coming and you do not say anything, you will be destroyed and the city will be destroyed. Watchman of West Palm Beach, Florida, is the judgment coming? If we're not evangelistic to doing everything we can to teach the others, the people will be destroyed and we will be destroyed. But if the watchman sounded the trumpet, and you got to hear this, and the enemy was coming and they sounded the trumpet, the enemy might still take the city. What about the watchman? He was free from the blood of guilt. And Paul said, I'm free from the blood of all men, for I've not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. And so you've got that situation. What about the matter of inherited sin? Well, Ezekiel chapter 18 says, the son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. You want one clear verse talking about the matter, do we inherit the sin from Adam? Ezekiel 18:20 says, the son shall not inherit the father's sin. We do not inherit Adam's sin. God says that. Neither shall the father share in the sins of the son. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And those are companion verses, both of them from Ezekiel chapter 18. Look at the matter of Ezekiel seeing something departing from the temple of God. When you read the book of Ezekiel, there's an amazingly thing that Ezekiel sees. He sees the Holy Spirit of God, the presence of God, the Shekinah of God in the most holy place. And the presence of God in the vision that Ezekiel sees leaves the most holy place and stands at the threshold, the door of exit. The next thing that happens is it departs from the exit and it goes out to Mount Olives. And then it ascends back to God. Why? God's no longer in that temple. It's not my holy temple. It's yours. And Jesus was in that same temple. Or the same temple that served the same purpose. And Jesus walked out of that temple. On his way out, they showed him the walls of the glory of that temple. And Jesus says, this house is desolate. Your house is desolate. It's no longer God's house. Guess where Jesus went after he left the temple? He went to the Mount of Olives. And later, that's Gethsemane, later, from the Mount of Olives, guess where he went? Into heaven itself. The glory of God has departed from the temple. And we hope the Lord is glorified and glorified in this place. But if we don't live the holy life that the people that God expects us to live, we are in trouble. Final point from the book of Ezekiel. The priests were condemned because they put no distinction between the holy and the unholy, the holy and the common profane things. I think the King James uses the word the holy and the profane. That's why Jerusalem was destroyed. And guys, it's up to us to make a difference. There's Holy Communion. What if a man doesn't? What if he treats it like it's a common thing? God will destroy him. He eats and drinks damnation to himself. There's holy worship. This people draws nigh to me with their lips, but where's their heart? Heart's far from me. Worship is holy. And when we make worship holy, secular, profane, common, and ordinary, we come under the judgment of God just as surely as these people did in the book of Ezekiel. One final point we'll make, and that is, at the end of the writings of all of these books of the Old Testament, the prophetical books, there is a message that is given, that is a current message, either to the northern kingdom or to the southern kingdom or to both kingdoms or to places like Nineveh, like where Jonah went to preach and everything. There's that common message that they had, a current message. But almost every one of these 17 last books of the Old Testament end with a prophetic messianic message. Why? Listen, they're headed into Babylon captivity. You're going to be there 70 years. It is not over. Jehovah God, who is responsible for sending you into captivity, it is Jehovah God who will bring you back out of that place. And when you come back, make sure you make a difference between that which is holy and that which is profane. One final comment. The first time the word holy is found in the Bible. In Genesis? Nope. Moses, take off your shoes. You're standing on holy dirt. Are you holy? Yeah. You feel like dirt? Yep, that's what we are. You understand what I mean? But God in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. God takes common and ordinary thing like fruit of the vine and unleavened bread, like untrained voices to sing praises to Him when He's got heavenly angels to sing, and common ordinary voices sing praises to God. Because God takes us holy dirt and changes us into a holy nation fit for the Master's use. David, I wish you well next week. You've got two books, or you've got those books, the closing books, plus Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. I hope you've enjoyed this. And I'm telling you guys, you got to start. You got to tell others about it. Let's build back up our Sunday night attendance to where it was. That's what our elders said to this morning, isn't it? Let's tell other people about it. You've got to come and get in studying the life of Jesus. Looking into the mirror of God's Word. The Bible says, as we behold in a mirror the image of Jesus, we are transformed into that same image. Beginning in January, that Sunday night studies for the next perhaps months and years, to look into this mirror and see what Jesus is, to walk where He walked, listen to what He said, to understand what He meant, to see the miracles, to see all the parables He taught, to see all of His teachings, to see His suffering and see all of it. And we ourselves, by looking into that mirror of God's Word, will be transformed into the image of Jesus, and the Bible says, even by the Holy Spirit of God. He's not going to change you into the image of Jesus. The Holy Spirit's not going to change you to the image of Jesus until you see that image of Jesus inside the book. And what better way is than to hear what our elder said this morning? Where would you want to be other than being transformed into the image of Jesus? That's it for tonight. We'll see you on Wednesday night.